Welcome to a special episode of Take Note on WPSU. I'm Ann Danahy. As part of the WPSU project Overcoming an Epidemic, Opioids in Pennsylvania, I spoke with six inmates at Rockview State Prison in Center County.
I was able to reach down real deep and make a change in my own life.
These inmates are participants in the State Department of Corrections Certified Peer Specialist Program, or CPS. CPS began in corrections about 8 years ago, and now it's in all of the state prisons. The idea is to train inmates who've had their own struggles to provide support to other inmates. It's along the lines of a sponsor in a recovery program. It doesn't replace the counselors or doctors inmates might be seeing, but supports them. As a spokeswoman with the Department of Corrections said, a goal is for those inmates who will be returning to society to be better people than when they came in. To participate, inmates have to be misconduct-free. They also have to have experienced mental illness and be in recovery from it. Some have experienced both mental illness and addiction. The Pennsylvania Department of Corrections asked that we only use the first names of the inmates we spoke with. I start by asking them how they got involved. Jerome says there were challenges going into it.
I wasn't sure what I was stepping into. It was a lot of rumors, just a lot of gossip and stuff like that is about what the program was entailed with the program. But as I got involved in more and more with the program, I learned that, you know, it's more than what I was told, much more on a deeper level.
Can you give me an example or like a way that you found that it is helpful on a deeper level?
Oh, well, okay. My main area that I work is the SRTU, and a lot of guys down there are struggling with adjusting to population. So my earliest experience was with a young guy who seemed to be having a lot of trouble adapting to population. And as I got to know him and as we began to build on our communication and our bonding, he seemed to come through. He started to come out of that, you know, the conversation with him was like real erratic. But as we continued on with our conversations, I seen him coming more and more, you know, together. Like slowly but surely, like his conversations were well put together. And then I just noticed that, you know, just some constant communication with an individual can really help him out.
And do you think the skills that you're learning will help you when you do get out?
Yes, because I actually use those skills with my family out in the street. Like, I learned to use the peer support with my family when I'm on the phone with them or when they come up on a visit.
How so?
Like, one of the major things that we use during peer support is something called open-ended questions. And when I do that, that allows my family to go ahead and explain more in depth instead of just trying to rush through it. And they really feel as though we're making a connection or we're making progress in whatever they may be struggling with.
Another inmate, Arthur, has been participating in CPS for about a year. He said he had already been in recovery for drugs and alcohol for about 5 years and dealt with mental health issues.
I recovered from it in my own way, and I thought I had something to bring that would be very valuable to the people that needed it the most.
He says he asked a counselor at Rockview about participating in CPS, pursuing it for several years. He finally got the opportunity.
When it came to addiction for me, it was, I was locked up at an early age. So at 13, I dealt with a lot of alcoholism and with myself and my family. So I had to find a way to move past that because my coping skills weren't up to par as it needed to be. So when it came down to actually doing something recovery-based, I learned that my behaviors and the way I thought was more important to focus on than just why I felt the way I felt and trying to avoid that. So that for me was more important to actually identify my own feelings as well as accept them for what they are, because there's no bad feelings. You know, it's just how you react to those feelings.
What did you think of the training for the program?
It was intense, but it was what was needed. Because I think for the most part, I didn't know who I was, and that's what held me back for the most of my time and within my own recovery. So finding who I was and loving who I am now was what that program helped me do.
Are there any particular moments or examples that stood out to you going through the training and being in the program where you felt like it just kind of became easier or became obvious what you needed to do?
I would like to say what made it easier for me is accountability, self-accountability. Because if I'm holding myself accountable in every aspect of life, then I can lead by example and show others how to do the same thing.
And what is that like being a peer support, talking to people when they're in need? What does that feel like?
It's gratifying. You know, it leads me to be happy with really who I am, you know, and that I can really make a difference no matter what I've done to get put in here, I guess.
Curtis has been a CPS for about 5 years. I ask him why he's still doing it.
I think the idea that I constantly have an opportunity to help as many people as I can, because I think being able to assist people has always been in me. And I think being in here, we always find ourselves in situations where we're either on one side or the other. And it felt like Arthur said, it's gratifying to know that we can get called upon from staff or inmates alike to, you know, help out whenever we can.
Did it make a real change for you? Did you notice like a difference before and after?
I mean, to be honest, like what Rome said, I didn't know that this program existed. And it's funny because we walk around and we talk to different people and we don't know what's available to us as far as having resources and dealing with our own personal struggles, knowing that it was a place or people to go to in order to get some type of assistance, and then to be a part of it. It's something that, like, I pride myself on trying to be the best peer support I could be.
Do you bring your own experience to it when you're working with your peers?
Oh, most definitely. I think one of the best things about being a peer support is not so much as to pointing out what other people are going through, because most times they want to see what relates you to them. And to come with your own story that is relatable, that's something that puts them on a level playing field, so to speak.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit, that probably inmates might be more open to talking with people in the same or similar situations.
Oh, yeah. I found that being where we are with these positions, a lot of the guys, they do feel more comfortable speaking to us before they speak to a staff member. But usually what we end up doing is we end up trying to transition and letting them know that they can always speak to staff member, because that's how we end up getting the assistance we need, and that a lot of the staff members are here. They're here for a specific reason, and they're pretty good at their job.
And you said it's like rewarding to help people without obviously violating anyone's giving anything specific. Are there times or are there issues that come up that stand out to you as being important that you work with?
I mean, I think some of the things that stand out for me are always the good things. Like when you see people progress, that's always positive. But I think sometimes it does get frustrating when you try to work with people and it's like they're right there and you want to push them a little bit harder, but you know that's not really possible. So you just go at their speed. And at the same time, like just to see them take the necessary steps to get a little bit closer to where they weren't before, I think that's always a good thing.
I say that's something we can all relate to, listening to friends and family.
It does upset sometimes because you know, like, they're almost there. Like, they're probably, like, a couple moments away from really realizing it, and they might have a setback. But that's all it is a setback. And then eventually they'll get back on track, and hopefully they'll get to where they need to be.
And people who participate in the program have self-identified as having mental health issues or maybe addiction issues or some combination. I guess, do you have any thoughts about how those two seem to kind of fall together, people who are struggling?
I mean, speaking for myself, I didn't realize how much of addiction played a part of my life, because growing up in my house, it was a lot of addiction there. To see people that struggle with, whether it's addiction, behavioral problems, or mental health, just the idea that they have someone in their corner constantly telling them, like, listen, there's nothing wrong with you, like, we can get over this together, and that they're not alone. I think that makes them more capable of realizing that they can succeed.
I guess as a general question, have there been any struggles with the program, times when any of you have felt like throwing in the towel on it?
I know in the beginning, like when we first started, it was kind of like, we talk about this a lot as far as the culture and people trying to get on board with trying to identify with what's helpful and what's not.
And we come from a place where this is an older prison, so you got a lot of the older guys that think that speaking to someone and trying to help them get over whatever hurdles they have, that's not the necessary way to go. Maybe it might need a little bit more, like, old school tactics.
What are those?
I mean, just to say, not the take your time out and be patient with them. You can just, like, they'll figure it out on their own. And I think that now that they actually see that we actually do help and we get called out on, like, different blocks, not just on the level 5 housing units, that they really understand, like, wow, this stuff really works.
By called out, he means an inmate is asking for peer support, but someone on their block might not be available, so a peer support specialist from another block is called to help.
It's always someone available, and that's one of the best things about being peer support here. Even though we don't have as large numbers as we probably want, there's always someone available to help someone that's in need.
About 600 inmates across the State Department of Corrections have been trained and certified. As part of that training, inmates process what they've been through and what they've done. The Department of Corrections says the training not only helps them and other inmates, but it's a certified skill that can help them get a job if and when they get out. Jerome, who we heard from earlier, weighed in on the challenges he's faced in his work as a peer specialist.
It's hard to break out of that old school mentality. It's like so many times I wanted to just tell somebody to do this or tell somebody to do that, but that's not my position. My position is to be a peer, to be a support system. So I kind of struggled with that early on, but as I learned, the more that you just adapt to being the support system instead of thinking with that old school mentality and telling somebody what to do, then you'll get used to it and it actually works.
Another challenge was skepticism. The staff I spoke with said other staff questioned the program, whether it would work, whether it was a good idea. And inmates getting the training saw skepticism from other inmates, too.
When I first started and guys would see me going to work, they would be like, hey, you about to go back there and work with them crazy people. And my response was, you more crazier than any of them dudes down there. But as the years went past and people began to understand what the whole program was about, now it's like that whole negative outlook on what we do is gone.
And anything overall else that you would want to say about the program and want people to know about it?
I will speak to it. It was, in my mind, I was thinking that I was going in there for the sole purpose to help everyone else. But as the years went past, I've actually changed, become a better person, become a better man, not only around the prison, but as to my family and friends. And it goes both ways. Anytime you're dealing with a relationship where you're trying to build a man and the man is trying to build you, that's naturally going to happen.
If you're just joining us, this is Take Note on WPSU. We're talking with Rockview State Prison inmates who are participants in the State Department of Corrections Certified Peer Specialist Program, or CPS. With CPS, inmates go through training to provide support to other inmates who may be experiencing mental health or addiction issues. We were just talking with Arthur, Curtis, and Jerome. Now we'll hear from inmates David, Jeffrey, and Al. We'll first hear from David about the training required for an inmate to become a certified peer specialist. David said he had a history with mental health issues and he experienced peer support. He wanted to help other people.
Well, the training was intense. It was a 2-week crash course on life. Shared experiences, some personal experiences, and I don't know. Overall, it was good, but I learned a lot about other people, and also I learned a lot about myself.
Can you give any examples of what you learned about yourself?
Actually, that I have a lot more in common with people than I thought, regardless of what geographical location they live in, nationality, color, creed. So, a lot, actually.
Does that help you as a CPS now?
Yes.
And just in general, what types of questions or issues or things do you talk about with people, with the people you're helping?
Well, it can be as minuscule as sports, or it can be as heavy as suicide prevention. So there's a large spectrum.
And you've actually talked with someone in that situation who was talking about suicide?
Yes.
And what was that like?
Well, it's almost like talking to myself because I was in a situation like that personally. So it was easy for me to relate, and it was easy for me to see past basically where he was at that moment, because I got through it, so I felt like he can get through it too.
And you helped him get through it?
Absolutely.
Do you think he was more willing to talk to you because you are someone who has been through that in a similar situation?
Absolutely. And is also, I'm an inmate too as well. So for him to see me instead of maybe a psych or the staff, he felt a little bit more comfortable with me. And actually, I see the person on a regular basis. Like, it's not like it was our first contact. So the familiarity of it, I guess he just felt comfortable with opening up.
Jeffrey is in his 41st year in prison, part of a life sentence. He's been through other courses, and he says this one is the best, even if it wasn't easy.
I wanted to continue what I used to do, although what I used to do was I used to tell people what to do. I used to try to fix people, you know, and in this class I learned that wasn't the way peer support works, that I wasn't no longer supposed to fix people, you know. I was supposed to let people fix themselves to find their own power, you know, and to realize who they were. And so I actually had an epiphany during the class when we were taking the two-week class that here I did those people a disservice when I was, you know, fixing them and doing stuff for them, you know, which I could have helped them a lot more if I would have did with the peer support approach, you know, empowering them to make their own choices, their decisions, you know, to have their own hope and stuff like that.
Right, so, just talking to them, letting them talk.
Yeah, letting them talk, you know, listening, sharing, you know, stuff that's similar to what I went through, you know, but always letting them make their own decisions and stuff like that.
A study from a center at the University of Southern California found that about 1 in 4 Pennsylvania state prison inmates had been diagnosed with a serious mental illness.
The first 3 days, I was ready to quit. I was like saying, no, I don't think I signed up for this. This is way too intense, like he talked about. And I said, you know, I'm not sure I can do this, you know, because I'm too opinionated, you know. I'll probably tell them what to do, and then I won't listen as well. But when you go through the training, you know, they sort of teach you how to be a good listener, you know, how to, you know, use empathy in other related statements and, you know, to bring out, to validate other people's strengths, your peers' strengths, you know, so that, you know, they feel better about themselves too. You know, when they realize that, you realize that they're more than they think they are, you know.
And did you have to deal with your own issues, kind of go through your own progress before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I went through my own stuff, too. And I would go back to, like, you know, I always worked on, I wanted, you know, with recovery is sort of like remembering who you are and using your strengths to become all you were meant to be. And I always take that as recovery is getting back to your authentic self, your true self, you know. So I always worked on that because, you know, I think growing up I kind of made a false self and I wasn't truly who I was meant to be, you know. So I worked on a lot of stuff that, you know, that made me have, you know, for whatever reasons when I was growing up, you know, I had to like make a false self and it wasn't the true self, my real self, you know. And so I would deal with those kinds of things and try to fix those, go back in time and try to fix those things with me so that I understood where I came from and what I was about more, you know.
Another inmate, Al, said he participated at first to get a good job.
Turned out to be a lot more, right? We did a real intense two-week program, a class rather, and we really dug in deep, you know. I think we became close as a group, and it became a lot more than I expected it to be. And that I found that helping others really helps me too, and that was kind of an awakening for me. So
yeah, what is it like being the CPS and that people could call for you? They need you at any time.
Just being there for another man, you know, who needs sometimes they need help, sometimes just companionship in a way. But for the most part, you know, it's a it's a two-way relationship, because even though I might be helping somebody else, I'm really helping myself. And helps you dig down to the fundamentals of what being successful means to you, you know. And we identify that with our peers, and we work towards that goal together. And it's a two-way street. It's really hard to, it's almost impossible to put in the words. It's an experience. It's definitely a positive thing, especially in an environment like this. And it brings out the best of people. You know, I've seen staff actually buy into it. You know, when I first started, there was a little skepticism because, you know, you don't have the best element sometimes, you know, mindset here. But as our crew stuck together, and we became a team and a unit, and we showed what we can do, and it's been really great.
Do you feel like there's a lot more positive support for it now, but less of that skepticism?
I do. I believe as we show the difference we can make in the institution, you know, it speaks for itself. Because, you know, when something is pure and good, right, in its core, you can't help but spread the positive message that this really works and this is like a solution, right?
I ask the inmates if addiction is something that comes up when they're having these talks with their peers.
My mental health issue was addiction, so I'm really in tune with that. And surprisingly, being in this program and working my recovery, right, I was able to reach down real deep and make a change in my own life. I did a lot of work before I came into the program, but as I came in and started helping others, then I really started recognizing the similarities. And you know, we're similar in a lot of ways. Not being aware of it before, you always thought of people as others, right? Now we're like, you know, you can relate to them, even though, you know, you may have a lot of differences, there's still that connection, you know, and we deal mostly with mental health, but you know, addiction is definitely a big part of it.
And do you feel like now, though, that when you leave, you'll be in a better place?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just, you know, I do a lot of groups, and we always talk about how important fundamentals are, right? Doing the basic things that work. And I would tell guys, whether you're playing softball here in B Yard in prison, or you're in South Philly playing softball, the fundamentals of the game remain the same. And thus, life is like that. You know, that's where we start. That's where the direction we go from. And recovery. It's a little bit of a miracle for me, right, what I've experienced. So it's been positive. It's been a net positive for me.
I open a last question to the three certified peer specialists in the second group, and David, Jeffrey, and Al respond.
Anything overall you want to say about the program and why you think it's working?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a great program. It opens a lot of minds. It opens a lot of minds. It helps you to step outside of yourself and get a different perspective. It helps you to use empathy, like to empathize with other people. And it shows solidarity. It teaches a lot of things. It's just great. I don't know, it's hard to explain. I mean, it's just a great program.
I think I get that, thank you. Yes.
It's like when you're in prison, sometimes you can feel so alone, you know? And I think the peer support program helps people not feel all alone. And I think in this environment, feeling not alone, feeling like you're with other people is a whole lot better than feeling alone, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, if you're feeling alone, you're surrounded by people.
Yeah, you're surrounded by people, and you have opportunities to talk to people and stuff like that. And life is much, much better when you're not alone, you know?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I kind of like what Jeff said about not being alone. You know, each place in this prison, each RTU, SRTU, DTU, which is basically a secure residential treatment unit, medical housing unit, psychiatric observation cell. Everybody is in a different stage of their recovery. And, you know, as a peer support, you're able to grow with them in those, because we'll see a lot of people do well and then regress, and we'll possibly, you know, go through a six-month program in the SRTU, and we talk to them, and we keep them motivated, and we talk about their goals or where they want to be, and it's just, we're a part of it. You know, it's hard to explain. It's just, you feel like you're part of the solution. You're having positive results, you know, and it really end up helping yourself just as much. And that's the amazing part about this program. You can't just, you know, I use the terminology, you know, two dead batteries can't start a car, right? So we got to walk around juiced up, you know, so we can give guys jumps, right? But there's a time where, you know, you have to make sure your batteries are charged. You know what I mean? And that's basically how it works. Sometimes you actually get a charge from somebody, too. It's, you know, you figure you're giving somebody a jump, and they give you a jump, right? They give you a charge. So it's an interesting thing. The program's really something I wasn't expecting.
You get helped as much as you help others with yourself, you know, because you get to view, you know, what your actions were and how you handled certain situations. And you got time when you feel really good about yourself, you know, and people thank you for, you know, listening to their stuff. It's rewarding, to say the least, you know. It's, people are really grateful that they have somebody to talk to now and then, you know. And it, jail is rough, but growth is messy too, you know. And when people grow, you know, it's, there's a lot of mess that has to be cleaned up. Yeah, it definitely works for both of us, you know, a two-way street.
While reporting this story, I also spoke with people who work in the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. On the question of whether the program is too soft on inmates serving time, often for serious crimes, corrections spokeswoman Sue McNaughton had this to say.
An individual coming to prison is the punishment. And we have to treat these individuals as the individuals and humans that they are. And our goal for those that are going to be returning to society is to make them a better person than when they came to us. And that's the whole purpose. We want to release people that are going to get life-sustaining jobs, that are going to be crime-free. And this program gives them certification that they can find really good jobs in the community. No, our prison system isn't all about punishment. Coming to prison is the punishment, but we have to treat the person while we have them.
You've been listening to Take Note on WPSU. I'm Ann Danahy. Today's discussion included six inmates at Rockview State Prison who are certified peer specialists. They provide peer support to other inmates. The participants were Jerome, Arthur, Curtis, David, Jeffrey, and Al. This conversation is part of Overcoming an Epidemic, Opioids in Pennsylvania, a WPSU multimedia project looking at what researchers, communities, and government agencies are doing to try to treat and prevent opioid addiction. For more on Overcoming an Epidemic, including a podcast, go to WPSU.org/opioids and tune in to WPSU TV on the evening of September 19th at 8:30 for a video about the opioid crisis. I'm Ann Danahy, WPSU.